I ask you to turn with me to the 23rd Psalm. You've probably never heard this one much before, have you? Psalm 23. I'm going to stop just a moment. I have a request here. Somebody want me to bring you all on camera. Let me just say, they don't want to be on camera. So they all hide from the camera. So Psalm 23. I want to read the entire psalm, but I'm just want to look at the first verse this morning. Psalm 23, starting with verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. In that, He maketh me to lie down. Sometimes we don't want to lie down. We want to stay busy, 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 busy. And sometimes He says, just lie down. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. May we pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for Your holy word. Thank You for the assurances that You give to us, Lord, in so many different ways. But how that You give to us these precious promises upon which that we can base our very lives. And Lord, that we can use these promises to have assurance of Your love and Your grace and Your mercy upon us, of Your care for us, and all the things that You provide for us on a daily basis. Lord, forgive us when we stray from You. Forgive us when we err. Forgive us when we make turns that we shouldn't make. Thank You for coming to get us and bringing us back. So, Father, this morning as we look at the fact of You, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ being our shepherd, help us, Father, to just find the sweet comfort that is ours in Him and through Him. It's for in His name that we pray, and amen. The Lord is my shepherd. As we think about Him being our shepherd, there's some things I want to bring out this morning about that I want us to just be reminded in our own hearts and minds concerning the relationship that we have between ourselves and the Lord Jesus Christ, who Himself has declared, we'll see it in just a few moments, He has declared that He is not only our shepherd, but He's the good shepherd. And when He says He's the good shepherd, that means there's none better. But, you know, sometimes we take that word good and we kind of categorize it and we say, well, it was good, meaning, well, there's maybe some that's a little bit better than that. But when He says He's the good shepherd, He tells us that there is absolutely none other. So as we picture this, I want us to think about the shepherd. If you want to think about David as the shepherd or whoever that might be, we've all seen pictures of shepherds and movies about shepherds and whatever, but how that once they get them settled into those green pastures and the sheep are there and they're feeding and a lot of times you'll see them lying in the grass and just they're just relaxed and they know that they're in total care. There is always a shepherd who finds a hillside where that he can go to that hillside and there he can sit. And he, from that hillside, he has absolute perfect view of his flock of lambs as they're there grazing in the sheep. And he's constantly watching and protecting. And not only the flock themselves, but he's also watching the perimeter, because it's from the perimeter that the enemy begins to try to sneak in and try to overtake. It's in the perimeter that as David said, that the Lord had delivered him from the paw of the bear and the mouth of the lion. They came from the perimeter and they came from the outside trying to destroy the flock. But he saw them because he would be on the hillside and he would be watching their flock as they were grazing. But now I want us to transport our minds from being the shepherd looking down. We're one of the lambs. And to me, there is a response that is given, and I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it again this morning because the direction that I want to go with this, if you turn with me to Psalm 121, as the shepherd is looking down and the shepherd is watching each and every lamb, his eyes going from one to the other, one to the other, one to the other, just making sure that they're okay and that they're feeding and they're not in any kind of danger. I wonder what the lambs do. And when I say that, I'm going to use this passage of Scripture to give what I think is the answer. There is a relationship between the shepherd and the lamb. There is a relationship that takes place there, and I don't know how deep that relationship goes. And quite honestly, I can't stand here and tell you this morning that I have found the absolute depth of my relationship with my shepherd. I hope that I'm constantly growing in that relationship and going deeper in that relationship day after day after day. But as I think about the lambs and I think about them as they're feeding there, I often wonder, do they lift up their heads? Do they look around? Do they look up on the hillside to make sure that the shepherd is still there? I don't know that I can answer that question for an actual lamb, but I tell you, there's times in my life that I have to stop and lift up my head and look up to see my shepherd is still there on the hillside. And so David, I believe, wrote this as almost as an answer to Psalm 23 when he said, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help." My help comes from the Lord. I'm going to stop just a minute, and this is a little soapbox. I'm going to get on it, and I'll get right back off of it, I promise you. But there are some versions of the Bible, newer versions, that want to put that as a question. They want to put it as though David is saying, "Where does my help come from?" David knew where his help came from. He didn't have to ask the question. It is the language that this is written in the King James Version when he says, "I lift up mine eyes unto the hills from where my help comes." My help comes from the Lord. He's not asking. He's making a statement. I know where my help is. I know where my shepherd is. I know where my Lord is. And I'm lifting up my eyes because He's right there on the hillside. And being on the hillside, He's looking down at me. Looking down the hillside, He's seeing everything that's going on about my situation. He sees everything that's going on about my life. He sees everything that's going on in the perimeter around my life. He sees the enemy. He knows the enemy. He knows how the enemy is going to come at me. He knows where, when, and how that he's going to do that. And my shepherd is constantly looking down. I don't ask, "Where does my help come from?" I make the statement, "I know from where my help comes. My help comes from the Lord." Well, what makes the Lord so special? I'm not being sacrilegious when I ask the question. I'm getting my mind into thinking. What makes it so special that I can say that the Lord is my shepherd? Well, He answers the question. My help comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth. My Lord is able to do all things. My Lord is the one that said, "Let there be light," and there was light. My Lord was the one that separated the waters from the firmament. My Lord was the one who spoke everything in this universe into existence by simply speaking the words. He's the one that's my shepherd. The same one that in Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God," He's still there. He hasn't changed. He hasn't moved. He hasn't in any way weakened, nor has He improved. How can He improve on perfection? My help comes from the Lord. And this morning I want us everyone to just stop for just a moment and focus upon our help. As it were, He's seated upon the hillside looking down on us. Well, what will he do for me? He'll not suffer thy foot to be moved. You know, sometimes we get to the point where that we think that we're just about to be overrun by everything and anything and everything that's going on around us. And it just seems like it's like a one wave right after another that's coming over us. This past July, when we were able to go to the beach with our grandchildren and get out in the ocean, and more than once, a wave knocked me down. And I tried to stand back up, and I just couldn't quite hardly get up. I almost panicked a time or two. But life seems like it's going to do that for us. But the Word of God tells us that our shepherd is in control. The Word of God tells us that He will not suffer our foot to be moved from us. Will not be swept over by the things of the world, though it may seem like it's going to be that way. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Again, I'm contrasting now. David is a shepherd and the Lord is my shepherd. David had to sleep, didn't he? There had to be at some point in time that David just, if nothing else, out of exhaustion, he would go to sleep. God never gets tired. God never gets to the point. He says, give me 5 minutes. Just let me shut my eyes for 5 minutes. No. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He never, ever, ever takes His eyes off of us. He'll not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He spoke it twice. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. On Sunday evenings when the sun is setting and it's coming through that window, I'm finding myself, finally we just move over to this side because the sun's not shining on that side. But there's times when the sun is so bright that you just have to shade your eyes so that you can see what's out there. And the Lord is our shade. The Lord is the one that allows us to see the things that are there, the things that are coming at us, the things that He's going to protect us from. But He's the shade upon our right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack for anything that I need to go from day to day. Today, because He provides my every need. My shepherd, we sang it a while ago, my shepherd will provide. And I hope that we believe that this morning, that the Lord indeed, our shepherd, will provide every need that we have. So with that in thought, when I think about it, I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who is my shepherd. What do I see when I look up there? What do you see when you lift up your eyes and you see that the Lord is your shepherd? How do you see Him? How do you look at Him? I want to present a few ways that the Lord shared with me this week as to what I think that I see when I lift up mine eyes. First one came from in Luke chapter 15, and you can turn with me if you want to. I'm just going to kind of hit on some scriptures here. This may be one of those Sundays, if you just want to listen, it'll be okay. But I'll share the scriptures with you. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus has gone into a house. And this house is filled with sinners. No offense to anybody that's here. Can we identify with that this morning? This house is filled with sinners. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you haven't sinned, because you just break it right then. But there's a wonderful thing about that. Yes, this house is filled with sinners, but I'm telling you, this house is filled with the presence of the Lord this morning. I hope that you've felt His presence here also in the song service, in our fellowship together, in nothing else, in reading the Word of God, that you felt the presence of the Lord in this place. So in Luke chapter 15, there's a house, and apparently the house is filled with sinners, and Jesus is right there. And Jesus is sitting down, and Jesus is eating with them while they're partaking of their meal. Now, somebody said this, and I have to be in full agreement with it. Jesus did not go down to their level when he went down to sit and to eat with them. He was lifting them up above where that they were. So I pray that this morning that as we recognize and lift up our eyes that Jesus is in this place, that somehow in some way that he will relate to our hearts the change that he has made in our lives and the change that he makes in our lives on a daily basis. And when we leave this place, we will have been lifted up to some degree above where we were when we came in. If there was something that was weighing us down when we came in, I pray just the fact of, I can feel it lifting from me just now even, to just think about that the Lord is my shepherd. If that doesn't lift us up, I don't know what else will. Because being our shepherd, we're going to see what he does for us and what he has done for us as we think about this. But he's sitting and he's eating with these. Let me just stay right on course. He's eating with these. And all of a sudden the Pharisees are walking by and they must be looking in the window and they said, oh, he's in there eating with those sinners. Doesn't he know who he's keeping company with? Doesn't he know that those people that he's sitting with, they're not our kind of people? And yet Jesus was with them and not with the Pharisees. And when he knew what they were saying, he put forth three parables, ending with the parable of the prodigal son. But I just want to deal with the first parable this morning. He looked at them and he said, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, bear in mind, 100 sheep, but if he loses one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he find it. And for the longest time, I would read that and I would say, wow, why would he leave 99 to go after one? And I looked at it that way until one day, Jesus said, but you're that one. You're the one that I left them to come get you. So when I lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help, I see my shepherd. And my shepherd left the 99, understanding he didn't leave them unprotected. He's not satisfied with anything less than 100%. He's the perfect shepherd. He's not satisfied with 95%. What is it? We just finished the World Series and then somebody said, you know, if somebody gets a hit 3 times out of 10, 3 out of 10, they get millions and millions of dollars for that, don't they? But Jesus wasn't satisfied with 9.9 or 99.9 out of 100. He left those to come get the one. He says, which one of you would not leave the 99 and go get that one and bring him back? But notice also, he went on to say, and when he found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Can I tell you this morning that when Jesus came to you and he lifted you up out of where that you were and he was bringing you back to the fold, he was rejoicing the whole way. We think about how we rejoice when the Lord reveals himself to us, and it is a time of rejoicing, isn't it? When we come to that place of understanding just how much Jesus loves me, that little song that we sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, it always brings smiles to the faces of adults. To know that Jesus loves me. But Jesus said, not only is the lamb rejoicing, but the shepherd rejoices also. And let me finish reading it if I can. My eyes here are getting all fogged up for some reason. He layeth on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. You know, when we see someone coming forward and making a profession of faith, every one of us rejoices when we see that. Every one of us, it just fills us with great joy. And that's because the Lord has called us into his presence saying, rejoice with me. One was lost and now he's found. What do I see when I look up to the hills from whence cometh my help? I see the one who left that hillside and he came for me and he picked me up and he brought me home. He said, I'm that lost one. And I see grace whenever I see him leaving that place. But what else do you see? When you lift up your eyes and you see from whence cometh your help, what do you see when you see Jesus sitting there? Isaiah chapter 40 speaks about the shepherd. And in Isaiah chapter 40 it says, O Zion that bringeth forth good tidings. Listen, this morning, I'm in a world that's filled with bad news. I'm bringing you good news this morning. We have a shepherd, and he's the Lord Jesus Christ and none other who is our shepherd. Rejoice and lift up your voice that brings good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, he says. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. This is what we need to be declaring today. Because quite honestly, many of God's people have taken their eyes off the Lord. Many of God's people have started looking around instead of lifting up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Say it with strength. Behold your God. Behold your shepherd. Behold the one who cares for you. Behold the one that will snatch you out of the mouth of the enemy. Yes, Satan is a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But we have the Lion of the tribe of Judah who is greater than any. And he's on our side. Behold your God. Behold the Lord God will come with strong hand and his arm shall rule for him. Behold his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. So not only did Jesus leave to come to that place where I was and where I find myself wandering back there from time to time, but he takes his arms and he reaches down and he lifts us up and he holds us close to his heart. Have you ever felt the heartbeat of God? Have you ever felt so close to him that you knew that you could feel his breath? That you knew that he was holding you close to his heart? And nothing was going to separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. This is exactly how that the Word of God illustrates to us what Jesus does for us when he comes to us and he picks us up and he takes us back home. And he puts us on his shoulder and he carries us back to safety. When I lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help, I see the arms of the shepherd. And I see his arms held straight out saying, come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I see my shepherd. I feel his love. I feel his arms. I feel his person right there with me. I confess to you, there are times that I wander away. And it's those times that I just don't feel close to him. But when he comes and he lifts me up, and I can feel that nearness to him, would you agree with me? There's nothing else that feels like that. There's nothing else that even comes close to that feeling that we have when we know that we're in the arms of a loving shepherd who has done everything and supplied every need that we have. There's nothing greater than that. I say to you, there's nothing greater than that. So when I lift up my eyes, I see his arms and I feel them and I hear his heartbeat and I feel his breath. Well, you say, how can you feel his breath? This is the inspired Word of God, right? What does the word inspired mean? Literally, it is God breathed. So when he comes to us and he lifts us up and a word from God fills our hearts and our minds, that is God breathing on us by his word. By his word. It's so important to be in the Word of God. So now, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. What do I see? I see Him sitting there. I see Him coming to where I'm at. I feel His arms around me. I feel His heart beating. I feel His breath upon me. I'm on His shoulders. And as we're going back to the fold, I start looking around. And I start looking at Him. And I start gazing upon the person of Jesus. And what do I see? Isaiah 53 tells us, He bore our griefs, and He's carried our sorrows. And then He says, and I'm putting it in my words now, but Isaiah 53 is that prophecy of the coming suffering shepherd, suffering servant. And in His words He says, look at the stripes. I lift up mine eyes. And the next thing I see is I see the stripes. So you see, when He came to get me, you know where I was? I'd left the green pastures. I'd gone into the briars. I'd gone into the brambles. I'd gone into the place that was not good for me, a place that was not where I was supposed to be. And He came and He got me. But as I looked down, I see holes in His hands. I see holes in His feet. I see stripes on His back, on His chest, on His legs. I see bruises. You know what? He did that for me when He came to get me. He did that for you when He came to get you. It wasn't just a matter of Him blinking His eyes or twinking His nose and saying all of a sudden they're saved. No, He came to this earth and He endured suffering. He endured shame. He endured spitting upon, slapping His face. The crown of thorns, the scourge to His back, the mockery that He went through. But He did it anyway. He did it to come and get me. I lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And I see the One who loves me so much that He endured such a contradiction against Himself just to take me home. Are you seeing this shepherd this morning? Are you seeing Him as He's done that for you in such a way that all of this was afflicted upon Him just for me? And if I was the only one, or if you were the only one, He still would have done it. For you see, He said, I left the 99 for that one. He came to get that one. And when we can see ourselves as that one, it's a very personal basis, isn't it? Now all of a sudden, the Lord is my shepherd. He's mine. One of Judy's favorite things when the little child is, but the mama's holding her, the daddy's holding, and she'll walk up and say, that's my daddy or that's my mom. And always there's a little going back and forth. Well, no, He's mine. No, He's mine. But you know, every one of us can say that. He's my shepherd. He's my personal shepherd. He did that for me. He did that for you. Love Jesus. Do you love Him this morning? Do you see Him as He is? Not just some impersonal figure that He's there to help us when we get ourselves in trouble, but rather He's the one who came to take us home. What do you see when you lift up your eyes? I see the Good Shepherd. Jesus said, I already referred to it, I'm going to do it again. He said, I am the Good Shepherd. That's one of the I am statements of John. The book of John. I am the Good Shepherd. What does the Good Shepherd do? What sets Him apart from the other shepherds? Well, He said there are those that are hirelings. There are those that run whenever the enemy comes. But I'm the Good Shepherd. What do you do that makes you good? And the Good Shepherd gives His life for His sheep. I'm the Good Shepherd and I know my sheep. And He knows us by name. And He knows everything there is to know about us. And He still loves us. That's the amazing thing to me, is that He loves me in spite of who I am, in spite of everything that is about me. He knows everything about me, and He still says, but I love you. I love you. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Now that's, sometimes I know we get a little sticky with that part of it. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus said it, so I'm not going to disagree with Him, are you? He says, I'm the good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known of mine. But here's the situation. Not everyone knows Him on the same basis or on the same level as everybody else. And so sometimes we get ourselves in trouble thinking, well, this is how I see Jesus and you need to see Him the same way I do. But it just doesn't work that way. For you see, now we see through a glass darkly. He sees us clearly. He sees us plainly. He sees everything about us. But we see Him through a glass darkly. And not everybody sees. It's like a rainbow. They tell me, I don't have any way of proving this on my own, but they tell me that not everyone sees, no two people see the rainbow exactly alike. Because we're looking at it from different perspectives. And isn't that the way it is in our own lives? When we look at Jesus, doesn't it really depend on where we are and what's going on in our life as to how we see Him at that moment? Isn't there times when we see Him and we say, the Lord's my shepherd and I don't want anything else? And there's other times we say, Lord, I need You. I need this to happen. I need this to take place. I need You to fix this. There's different perspectives, but He's the same Lord. He's still the good shepherd. So, taking all this in, and there's so many other things that could be said this morning, but taking all of this in, how am I to approach this? How are you to approach this understanding that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. This week as I was trying to think about this and pray about this and study about this, the words of the Apostle Paul came to me. And I thought, that's it. That's how I need to come to this and bring this to a conclusion in my own life. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. And he began talking about all that he used to be. And you find in the third chapter of Philippians. Oh, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was the elite. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, the most learned man in the law of God, other than God Himself, or maybe Moses. But Gamaliel was right there, and Paul, Saul as he was known at the moment, he sat at his feet and he listened as Gamaliel expounded the law of God to him. I was right there, he said. Well, Paul, when you saw that, but then when you saw the Lord your shepherd, and He lifted your eyes up to see Him, what do you think about all of that stuff that you were? He said, I count it as dung. That's a biblical term. I count it as dung that I may win Christ. I want to know Him more. I want to win Him, is what he said. And that's not to be... Paul was already a child of God. But he said, I want to win Him. I want to grow. I want to be expanded in my understanding of the shepherd. That I may know Him. I want to know Him. I want to know Him. But Paul, as close as any other man has ever been, other than you and Moses probably had ranked right there together, in looking on the face, you've seen Him. Yeah. But I want to see Him more. I want to know more about Him. I want to find out more about my Lord. I want to walk with Him. I want to talk with Him. I want Him to talk with me. I want Him to reveal Himself to me that I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection, that I'll be able to overcome these temptations that come my way. These things that I struggle with. These things that every day seem to just almost seem like they're going to suffer my feet to be moved. I want to know Him. And the fellowship of His sufferings. Whew. Now that's one that's You mean, Paul, you want to know the depth of what he suffered for you? Yeah. I can almost see him trembling. Or I see myself trembling. And the whisper, yeah. Help me, Lord. Help me to lift up my eyes to see you. I want to be made conformable unto his death. In other words, I want to deny myself. Don't let it be Steve. Don't let it be Paul. Don't let it be you. But let it be Christ in me. For he is my hope of glory. He's my everything. He's my all and all. That's my prayer this morning. That I would learn more about Jesus. Not just so I'd be able to stand up here and tell you what I know about him. Because I tell you, what I know about him won't fill a thimble. When you compare the vastness of who he is. Yeah, I want to tell you about him. But I want the experience of him. I want to know him. I mean, I want to know him. Can I say it again? I don't want to just know about him. I want to know him. I want to know that he is there with me. I want to look at those hands and feet. I want to see those scars. They're not pretty to look at, but they remind me of how much he loves me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how wonderful you are that you would send your only begotten Son into a world that is sin-cursed, into a world that's filled with briars and brambles, into a world where that he would receive those scars, he would receive those stripes, that he would lay down his life for an unworthy lamb as I. Thank you, Father. My prayer for myself and for all within distance of my voice and for every child of God is that we would spend more time lifting up our eyes unto the hills from where our help comes from. Our help comes from you. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen.